Good morning. Today is Wednesday, November the 18th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Super of the 5th, Mr. Madrone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Super of the 5th. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we could use other titles if you want.
That'll work for me. I'm
good. Good, good, good. Well, let's see if Winston can stump both of us this morning.
Okay.
What is the reason we call certain drinking glasses tumblers?
I'm thinking it would have to do with somebody not being able to stay on the bar stool if they drank that full amount of whiskey. How about you,
Irish?
Steve? Any chance?
Are you Irish?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, I don't know. I'm stumped.
Now you get points for creativity. It's because at one time, these drinking glasses really tumbled. They were made with a pointed or curved base so that you could not set them down until you have drained them to the very last drop.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, and then had the dexterity still to be able to accomplish that goal.
Sounds like a drinking game in college or something.
Yeah. Or at home, you know, in the quiet of your own home, right? Or privacy of your own home.
Yeah, there you go. Don't drink and drive, please.
Yeah. Folks. Yeah.
Well, in the season coming on us.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, we're not going to be able to be with anybody, so maybe that will. I don't know. What kind of impressions do you have with the governor's edict from Monday?
Well, you know, Humboldt County was doing pretty darn good. You know, we were the only county in this north area in a yellow tier, so that was pretty awesome. But, you know, we're all getting really tired. It's getting really hard. Businesses are frustrated and, you know, losing income, and so people are getting frustrated and traveling and mixing with numbers indoors, and it's spreading. So, you know, even the governor admitted to making that mistake himself. So, you know, what do I think about it? Well, it is what it is. I mean, the numbers are there, and they triggered this new level that could be extremely restrictive, and we're going to have to double down on our safety practices. There's really no choice, right? I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, what will the county, rather than perhaps my question was a little loose there in asking what do you think about it, what is the county going to do about it? I mean, I can't imagine taking deputies off the street to make sure of this or that. And the code enforcement guys are kind of taking care of their areas that they were dealing with already.
Right.
Yeah, is it more of just a kind of a reminder?
It is a reminder that we need to do these things that, you know, certain things aren't a big big hardship. Masking, distancing, these things are not hardships. They're going to kill us. Not doing these things might kill us. And so it is hard. It's hard for businesses in particular, small businesses. You know, the impact on them is just horrendous. And there are programs out there, and no doubt there will be more, to try and help small businesses and such. But I don't know that we really have any choice but to try and double down on our safety practices. You know, if you look around the world, it's pretty clear that many of the Asian countries are doing so much better. But they were already attuned to wearing masks. You know, you look at South Korea and Japan and China. I mean, people always wore masks just because it's so crowded and so dense. You know, getting on the subway or the train or whatever, it was just something that was quite common practice. But here in America, it took a long time for people to come around to feeling okay about masking. I mean, Humboldt County, it was quite obvious that, you know, this summer we were being invaded by a lot of folks coming to the coast to get away from the heat, the fire, the COVID, and they were not masking. And you can still see that to this day. Most locals were masking, but it took folks a long time to kind of come around and comply with that. But what's happening now is people are meeting indoors with larger groups and traveling to places that have high rates of COVID. So if you look at the Asian countries, they're doing pretty well right now, whereas Europe and America are not.
But now our spike was just in the last couple of weeks, wasn't it, Steve? Two, three weeks?
This is our third spike. Yeah, that's why they call it the third wave. You know, the first one was in March, and then it went up, and then we started flattening the curve out. People started masking. We initiated the restrictions and started lowering the rates. And then there was another wave, you know, midsummer. Things started lowering alone, and now we're having a massive surge. And some of it is the weather changing. You know, we get people go indoors a lot more, you know, with the colder weather. And so the spread is more easy to be accomplished when you're indoors in closed spaces.
Right. So, you know, what does that bode for the next 6 months here? I mean, we got Thanksgiving there, and I firmly believe families are going to get together for Thanksgiving. We've got Christmas, same. We've got this thing that's, I guess it's a virus called the flu that kind of comes around every winter anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we've got all these things that are not normally occurring and culturally occurring. You know, it's almost as if we're being told don't on all those fronts. And then you lay on top of that the economic component for either small business operators or for those people who like to have jobs. You know, in government bailout, that just means more taxes down the road. So,
it sure does.
You know, it's obviously it's a frustrating and a fatiguing situation.
Yeah, well, it's not almost like we're being told these things. We are being told these things. You know, and we have choices to make. I know myself and my family, we're choosing to stay sheltered. And if we're going to see larger groups of family, it's going to be on Zoom, you know, or on phone or FaceTime or whatever. And it's certainly not the same. But, you know, don't be a turkey about it, right? I mean, come on. You know, this is pretty serious stuff, and we all have choices to make. And the more of us that make the choice to stay separated and mask and distance and stay outdoors with meetings, the sooner we will get through these things. Of course, the vaccines appear to be coming soon and stuff, but then we've got to get everybody to take it. You know, so we're not out of the woods yet by any means. And with this current surge, the potential to overwhelm the hospitals, once again, if we think back to the beginning, there has always been this concern that if we overwhelm, you know, the ventilators, the hospitals, and the rest of it, then the number of people who die from this will increase. There is no doubt about that. We've learned a lot in the last 6 to 9 months. We still have a lot to learn. But these things we know, masking, distancing, staying separate, outdoors if you have to meet, these things matter.
I've not been monitoring as closely as I was initially. How many people in Humboldt have died? Strictly because of this?
I don't know the exact number. I think it's something about 8 or so. So we've been pretty lucky in that regard also. We have not overwhelmed our facilities yet, but we just had 32 new cases yesterday. Remember the days where we'd have one new case, two,
right.
Maybe four? Oh, four. Oh, my goodness. Well, over the weekend, we had 16 over 3 days. That's five and a third per day.
Yep.
And then we got 32. Today, you know, from yesterday.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, you're right. People are gathering. KINS,
you know,
news and information.
It.
We'll continue. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the numbers. And I've seen that it's, what, around 700 positive tests so far? I have not had anybody answer this question, so I'm going to ask you, not to single you out or put you on the spot, but nobody has really shared.
Fair is fair.
Is there a tracking of the people who have... Okay, if we've had, let's say, 700, just as a number, what percentage of that 700 or what number of that 700 have had this a couple of times? Or are these 700 individuals in the county who have tested positive sometime over the entire period, and if they've been reinfected, that doesn't enter into the equation?
I am not aware of any reinfections. That doesn't mean they haven't happened. But they certainly have not been reported out to us as a board in our updates that we get.
Well, that was rare, I know. I just didn't know how many of them were that way. Any idea how many tests we have had done also?
No, I don't have that number at my fingertips. I know that testing has not been an issue if people wanted to get tested. There have been some inconveniences at times with getting that that done, but for the most part, if people want to get tested, it's available. But I don't know the total number.
Right. I just was curious what percentage has been testing positive in Humboldt right. County versus the rest of the state or nationally?
Yeah, we still don't know if you can be reinfected or if you become immune once infected once, because, you know, if that were true, then the herd immunity idea, well, let's just all get it and some of us will die and some won't and we'll move on. Well, you know, that's reality in the virus world, no doubt. But what we do know about this particular virus and disease is that it is far more harsh in terms of loss of life than anything else we've seen with flus and things like that. So, you know, what are you going to do? Just throw your hands to the wind and kill a whole bunch more people? I don't think so. You know, we're going to try and do our best to try and control this. And yes, there's a lot of impact, but, you know, the people with small businesses are the ones that I worry about the most. I think most people that lost their job got unemployment. Not everybody, by any means. There are some that are still navigating the system. But most got it. In fact, they got more money by unemployment than they were getting from their wage. Now, it's also true that, you know, those wages help pay all kinds of things. And so, you know, when we look at the impacts on the economy, believe it or not, sales tax have gone up throughout this entire period since March. You know, the last quarter of last year, sales tax went up. First quarter of this year, sales tax went up. Now, clearly, gas tax is down. People aren't driving as much. I know I'm not. But sales are up, and people are buying online, so that's not so good for local brick-and-mortar shops. But it has generated a lot of economic activity. And hardware stores locally are off the charts. I mean, they are.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Because
you're staying at home, and that makes sense, Steve. But if you also look at the stuff that talks about where people's savings are and what their credit card loans are, that's how a lot of this stuff is being paid for.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, it's going to come home to roost, and there will be a significant impact, particularly if you're not getting any active income does the county have any significant money set aside for economic support? I'm not talking $1,000 to $5,000 a business. That's not going to, you know, that doesn't, for us, as an example, that doesn't even pay PG&E. So that's not going to help us out at all. But as a mom and pop that have under 12 employees, we would qualify on any other regard. But I mean, you're talking the PPP. I mean, that was what, up to $150,000. Some of the idle stuff was up to that same level, also, if not greater. And that's just, you know, per business, per small business or micro business. That's not a county's worth. I mean, you put 25,000 businesses out there, which is kind of what the number is. The county can't carry that on its own.
No, you know, we have reserves, but nothing big enough to really deal with this kind of stuff. In fact, our budgets are shrinking, right, because the costs have gone up for delivery of service and so many other things. So once we finally close the budget for last year and we start talking about this year's budget, we have asked all the departments to come back to us at the board with potential cuts of 2.5%, 7.5%, 15% cuts.
And that's in the current year?
That's for the current year, let alone the future years. So the impact from this is going to be felt for a long time by small businesses, by individuals, and by government, no doubt about it.
Are there other counties, or is CSAC, or is anybody in the state looking at something? I know that there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of comment that we hear coming out of the state, other than, you know, the stuff we heard earlier this week or the snafu that happened late last week.
Right.
And I know in the past California sat on its haunches and said sixth or eighth largest economy in the world, blah, 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 and we still have a tough time balancing our budget. So obviously the spending side is kind of out of whack.
Yep.
Is there anything that gives you hope at the state level, or is this going to be another federal bailout?
Uh, Well, I suspect both the state and the feds are going to have to put significant resources into recovery. It's not going to happen otherwise, right? I mean, that's what it's going to take. But while all of this is happening, there are some bright spots. There are some great things that are developing for our future. And you know, I think that's an important thing for our listeners to think about is, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, watching the news gets old real quick.
Right? Doing what?
You know, it's like, yeah, it's just overwhelming with all the bad news and all this stuff and all the fighting and bickering and division and, oh, Lord, you know, so I guess for me, I'm going to do everything I can in regards to COVID and keeping our community safe and doing my part in that. But at the same time, we have to get up each day and go out and do our work and try to make good things happen.
And we'll talk about that good stuff when we come back. It's 8:30.
All right.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Steve Madrone. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Redeck, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. Steve, you before the break, you were talking about kind of focusing on or trying to find and focus on some of the positives or even just kind of the routine. You know,
yeah.
This time last year, the routine would be pretty comfortable right now. So what are some of the things that you're seeing out there that people can kind of focus on?
Well, there's a lot of stuff happening all over the county, and I'll just cover a couple of them, sort of a travel-related theme, shall we say, right? With COVID, we need to reduce travel. Well, guess what? The rains are back, right? So, I mean, that's certainly something to be very joyful about. They're coming in, you know, not too heavy, good soaking rains. The creeks, the springs, the wells are coming back up. People were getting pretty dry. You know, if you're on private wells, springs, creeks, I mean, it was getting about as dry as we've seen in maybe 45, 50 years since 1976, 77. So not only is that helping with our water supplies, but it's putting fires out and replenishing our groundwater. So that is an amazing thing. So just this last week on Thursday, a large group of Matole folks and Bear River Tribe did a welcoming home ceremony for the salmon at the mouth of the Matole. And everything was masked, socially distanced, out in the open on the beach, and prayers were said, dances occurred, and we were welcoming the salmon back. And then that night, the rains came in, Thursday night. So, you know, the salmon are traveling. They're looking to get back to their homes and bring that food back to that bounty back to our communities that native tribes developed their most of their culture here locally around those salmon runs and the traveling of those salmon out to the oceans and then back into their natal streams. So that's pretty exciting to have rains and salmon coming back into our rivers. And then just this morning, I sit on the board of directors for the North Coast Railroad Authority, and we just approved a whole lot of measures this morning that are going to transfer the Southern Line from Willits South to SMART, which is running a rapid transit system, train system there, as well as a trail within the right-of-way down there. And then the northern half from Willits up to Humboldt County, including the three branch lines out to Carlotta, Samoa, and Blue Lake, all are going to be rail-banked so that we can build this great Redwood Trail that many in the community have been working on for a long, long time, and Senator McGuire has been spearheading this effort. So that took great leaps forward today, and over the next month or two, a whole lot more things are happening to help solidify that. Now, that's just the first steps, and then we have to work with landowners along that right-of-way that actually own fee title to some of the right-of-way, and the railroad only has an easement. And we're going to need to work with those folks, ranchers down the Overfor Canyon, et cetera, and make sure that whatever we're planning to do works well for them as well. That's what I did when I was helping the county with the Hammond Trail is, you know, we met with the landowners and we figured out what their needs, concerns were, met those needs, and then we were able to build a trail so it worked for everybody. So again, on the travel scene, that is a huge potential for economic development for all of our northern counties along the right-of-way, as well as restoring the Eel River for salmon and things like that. So travel.
You mentioned the rail lines. What is the status with the overpass at Indianola Road? I mean, we see a little bit of action going out on by the eucalyptus trees. Yep. And a little bit of widening and stuff, but there doesn't seem to be any action on the overpass. I thought that was going to be happening. We would have started to see some stuff at that specific interchange by now.
I believe that this summer was focused on all the prep work that needed to be done to create the wider pullouts and acceleration, deceleration lanes and all the things that are going to be associated with the interchange, right? So you had to get all those things kind of in place first. That's been done, and it also made a lot of those on and off ramp areas a lot safer at Breakut, at Indianola, at Murray Field. You know, it used to be you had to come out and merge in like 30 feet or something.
Right.
You got 1,000 feet to accomplish that merging. So those were the initial measures to make it safer and possible to move on to the next phases, which I believe will be next summer. I don't think it all gets done in 1 year. It's a pretty major project. But I do believe this is the preparatory work, and things will be coming soon. And Last Chance Grade is also moving forward. We're looking at all the alternatives and having some meetings in the new future to discuss all of the various parameters around the alternatives for Last Chance Grade. So travel.
Is there any more funding with the grade?
Well, they have all the funding they need for the geotechnical and engineering and alternatives analysis. We have all of that in place, substantial funding, millions of dollars. And a great stakeholder group that Congressman Huffman put together representing Del Norte, Humboldt, tribes, agencies, working well together. We all want to see it get done sooner than later and do appropriate mitigation so we don't end up in court lawsuits and all that. So a great group working together to accomplish a big project, as you know.
In association with 101, and that, is there anything going on at Richardson's Grove to make that safer?
Not that I know of. It's not actually very dangerous, but it is a constraint for STA trucks and things like that.
Right. Well, if you're following behind somebody not from the area, I'll call that frightening, not entertaining.
Sometimes passing a big truck, what do you got, 3 inches on one side? It's like, ooh, boy, yeah, but, you know,
yeah.
If you're going slow, it's not a bad situation. But I have not heard any updates on Richardson's Grove.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, as you look into the future now with the big question marks, with some of the stuff that the state is doing, with some of the questions around the health concerns, when you're looking at your mid-year budget, and then you guys are going to start putting things together here halfway shortly for next year,
yep.
What are you looking at? I mean, what are the canaries that you will be tracking other than sales tax?
Sure. Well, you know, that and some of our other tax programs. You got the Measure S with cannabis and a few others. You know, other than that, what we're looking at is how do we continue to provide services with less money, right? And so often that requires us to do more partnerships. There is funding out there. It's not necessarily funding the county can get, but sometimes tribes and nonprofits can get funding that the government agencies cannot. So I think we're going to see an increase in partnerships, and in doing so, we're able to create more jobs, get more projects done, and things like that. So we're going to have to get really creative, Brian. You know, it's tightening up the old purse strings, and that is the opportunity to figure out how to be more innovative, more creative, and still get the jobs done. So not going to be easy by any means.
Does the county have the staff time for creativity?
Well, you know, what's neat about these nonprofits, we have, I think we have more nonprofits per capita in Humboldt County than just about anywhere in the country. From
that would not be surprising, would it?
We have like 1,500 or something. I mean, there is an amazing amount of nonprofits. So we in Humboldt have a long tradition of volunteerism and nonprofit groups stepping into the fray, church organizations, tribes, and others, and figuring out how to get things done. And so, you know, I don't think we have the time, but I could give you many examples of projects that, you know, basically the nonprofits took the lead. The county didn't have resources, staff time, or whatever. They took the lead with an agreement with the county, raised millions of dollars, and then went out and did great, great work with the county's cooperation to restore roads, protect fish and watersheds, to create trails, parks, you name it. There's a long tradition of that in Humboldt County.
What are you hearing about some of the economic projects around the bay? Are you hearing traction? Are people excited about getting behind those? What are you hearing?
Well, you got Nordic Aqua Farms, and they certainly have been moving forward with their studies, their information gathering, their design work. You know, from right out of the gate, they promised to pay prevailing wages. As a Norwegian company, they highly value their workforce. And so they made that promise right out of the gate that they'd be prevailing wages. They also made promises that they would be sure that the facility couldn't be overwhelmed in a tsunami or an earthquake or a flood or whatever, such that these factory-raised fish ended up in our bay and in our watersheds, because that would create great harm to our native salmon runs, steelhead runs. So, you know, they're doing all the right things in these steps. There's a lot of upgrades that have to happen to the Humboldt Bay Water District supply line that goes out there. It was a raw pipeline for raw water, but raising steelhead requires very high water quality. So they have to look at trying to make some of those things happen, which will take probably some grant monies and investments to work on that. I haven't heard too much else out there. I mean, there's been lots of workshops on offshore wind, trying to work on that issue. Fishermen have a lot of concerns, obviously. So, you know, we're working through the process on these things. There's some things I'm hoping to do up at the airport as we finish our lease study up there for our market rates. I want to try and expand the Vista Point into a Vista Point Park.
Right, right.
Pull all those travelers off the highway, so, spend their money in McKinleyville.
There's some positive stuff that's out there bubbling right now. So.
There is.
Good deal.
Know, we just got to get up each day and go after it, Brian.
All right.
I'm sure that's what you do.
Favorite Thanksgiving part?
Yes.
Which?
Favorite part is the walk afterwards, outside, taking long walks, full stomach, coming back for dessert.
All right. Well, so we'll put you down for pumpkin pie. Thanks,
pumpkin
bud.
Pie. Right.
See ya. Thanks, Steve.
All right. I'll show up at your door.
All righty. Bye-bye. See everybody tomorrow.